All right, brethren, let's turn to Exodus 25. Let's begin reading in verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls. The bowls were shaped like almonds. They held oil for the lamp. But he says the shaft, the branches, the bowls, his knops. That was an ornament shaped like a ball. And his flowers. On each knob, there were these flowers. He said, all of these shall be of the same. They shall be gold. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knob and a flower in one branch. And three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Now, if you want to turn with me to Leviticus 24, I want you to see a word concerning this lamp and lighting it and what have you. Verse 1 of Leviticus 24, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually. Without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. Now, we're told in Hebrews 9:23, that all the furniture in the tabernacle, including this candlestick, were patterns of things in the heavens. That's what we're told. They're patterns of things in the heavens. In our text, God told Moses there in verse 40, he said, look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. It was important to make these things after the exact pattern because these things were, as Hebrews 10:1 says, they were a shadow of good things to come. All this was picturing Christ Jesus the Lord. Everything he was doing was picturing Christ and the redemption he accomplished and the salvation of his church. That's what we see here, first of all. This lamp typifies Christ. Then spake Jesus again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christ is the light. That's what's pictured in this candlestick, this lampstand. And it typifies Christ's union with the church. You know in Revelation 1:20, the seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches. And Christ walks amongst the seven golden candlesticks. He walks amongst his churches. And that's what we have here. He said to the church, to you and me who believe on him, he said, "You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." That's our purpose here, is to preach Christ so that we might give light to other sinners who are in gross darkness like we were. That's our whole purpose. So the lampstand typifies Christ in union with his church, who is given light. Our church, the church, is given light from Christ through the Holy Spirit. And that's what's pictured here in the oil and this lamp. So I want to show you Christ in the lampstand. First of all, you notice here the branches came out of the center shaft, and they were one with that center shaft. He actually calls that centerpiece the lampstand. These other parts that came out of it, he calls branches. But that centerpiece, he calls the lampstand. That was the shaft. Christ and his church, that centerpiece pictures Christ. But those branches being connected to it, coming out of it, pictures how Christ and his church are one. You remember in his high priestly prayer in John 17, Christ said, "I in them," speaking to the Father, he said, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world, his elect scattered throughout the world, may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." That's how one we are with Christ, that as God the Father loves Christ, that's the same way and the same magnitude with which he loves his people. That's amazing. That's amazing. That shows you that he loves us in Christ, because there's no way he could love us like that in ourselves as sinners. When we see these branches, though, coming out of the shaft of this lampstand, it reminds us of those branches coming out of the vine. You remember Christ talked about the vine. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." That's how the only way we bring forth fruit is by Christ abiding in us and making us to abide in him. But we're one with Christ. We were one with Christ when he chose us, when the Father chose us in Christ before the world was made. We were one with Christ when he walked this earth and went to the cross and laid down his life as our substitute. We were one with Christ all the days of our rebellion while we were in darkness and lost and without any hope. And we're one with Christ now, who were born of God. One with him. There were seven branches to these seven candles. And that number seven suggests the fullness and the completion of the church. Because we were in Christ, everybody that he redeemed is complete. There's nothing to add to what Christ did. We are complete in Christ. He accomplished fulfilling the law in totality for his people. You can't add anything to what he did. And I can't either. And we can't take anything from what he did. We can't subtract from what he did or detract from what he did, because what he did is eternal. It can't be tampered with. And so we're complete in Christ. That's just the end of the story. Nothing else to be added. And the Holy Spirit indwells in his church, in each individual believer, in each local assembly, so that Christ sustains us in this world. He upholds us in this world. We're a habitation of God through the Spirit. Isn't that that's amazing, isn't it? If you're a child of God, if you believe God, God has taken up habitation in you. He's come into you and he lives in you just like you live in your homes. And Christ not only dwells in His church by the Spirit, He not only upholds it, He walks in the midst of these seven golden candlesticks. He knows what we need. He's always protecting us. Sometimes when I'm preparing a message, it's amazing to me how, you know, I don't know what the message is going to be when I start, but you'll work on a message and work on it and work on it and work on it, and it just won't come. And then you switch over and look at something else, and you can't write fast enough. And all I can say to that is the Lord, He knew what His people needed, and whatever that first text was you was looking at, they didn't need that. And He led you to what they needed. So our oneness in Christ is inseparable. Now here's the application Apostle Paul gave to this. In Ephesians 4, if you want to look there. Ephesians 4, verse 1. He said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." It's taken a lot of priceless, precious blood to give us that unity of the Spirit. And if that means anything to us, we're going to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why? Why does He say do this? Because there's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. That's how. That's why. That's the reason. Now, secondly, in our text, go back to Exodus 25. The one who continually lit the lamps was Aaron the priest. That's who continually lit these lamps. And his sons, the general priests. And they shall, he said in verse 37, "And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it." We saw in Leviticus 24, the children of Israel were to come to the priest with pure olive oil that had been beaten out of the olive, and Aaron took that oil and he lit the lamps before the Lord continually. And he kept it going continually. Now, what is that picture? Our Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And He sends the Holy Spirit, called in Scripture the oil. And we're made to come to Christ, our high priest. And He gives us light. He gives us light. No sinner can regenerate himself and make himself come to Christ our priest. That can't be done by us. I recall a book that a famous preacher wrote on titled "How to Be Born Again." Foolishness. There is no how-to when it comes to being regenerated. The work is all of Christ through the Holy Spirit. There's no way that you and I can do something to be born again. That would be like a child trying to make himself be conceived in his mother's womb. You have nothing to do with it. In fact, if you turn, I want you to turn here, Zechariah 4. This is the whole message of the lampstand, right here. And look at this. We don't even have to guess what God's teaching us with this lampstand. Here it is. Zechariah 4:1, "The angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that's wakened out of his sleep." I tell you what, that happens to me often. That happens to me often. And you can't sleep. When he wakes you, you're awake. And he said unto me, "What seest thou?" And I said, "I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, the other upon the left side thereof." So I answered, and I spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel." Zerubbabel was the governor. He's a picture of Christ Jesus, the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord to Christ right here. Listen, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." That's the message of this lampstand. Listen, "Who art thou, O great mountain?" That's you and me, thinks we're a great mountain. Who are we that we ought to think ourselves some great immovable mountain? Listen to this. "Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you." Now we know who that angel is, don't we? He said, "You're going to know the Lord of hosts has sent me to you." That's Christ speaking. But that's the message, not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit. He said Christ is going to bring forth the headstone. He's going to bring forth the last elect child of God, just like he brought the first one. And just like he's brought the rest of them. He's going to bring the last one. He's not going to lose one. And what's he crying to it? Grace, grace. It's all of grace. No merit on our part. It's all of grace. He's laid the foundation of this building, shedding his precious blood and redeeming his people, calling out his apostles and making them the foundation and sending the gospel into the world. And he'll finish it. He laid the foundation, he is the foundation, and he'll finish it. And you and me, who he saves, we're going to know that the Lord sent him to us. That's the message of the lampstand. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 4:6? He said, God, not me and you, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power may be of God and not of us. John said, we're born not of the will of the flesh, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, but of God. And just as this lamp was kept burning continually by the high priest, we're not only given light by God, we're kept burning continually by our Lord Jesus. He keeps us in the light. He said, whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness. He keeps us lit. Now listen to Ephesians 5. Go there. Here's the application to that. Verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But not ye that be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what he's declaring to. Walk as children of light. Now, thirdly, back in our text, there's an important picture. Now, we could, you know, brethren, we could be here for a week talking about this text. There's a lot more in it than what I'm giving you. I'm just giving you three simple things here. But thirdly, there's an important picture here, an important lesson here in what this lampstand shined upon. A very important lesson. The only thing that was in that holy, that first room in the, within the curtain, that first room was the holy place. After that was another curtain, that was the holiest of holies. Now in the first room, there was the altar where the incense was burned. Christ is our altar. There was the table of showbread. Christ is our bread from heaven. And that, then there was the lampstand, so that the lamp shined on the altar and on the showbread. Now there's an important lesson in that. You and I are the lamps. Christ has lit us. We're the lamp. We only have light by His light. And Christ told us, therefore, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now the world teaches you, you go around trying to make people see Christ in you, and eventually some are going to see Christ in you and they'll come to Christ. No, they won't. No, they won't. The only way we can bring an unregenerate sinner to be regenerated so that he sees the work we did and comes to Christ is by preaching Christ. That's it. That's how you let your light shine. Preaching Christ. And through that message, God makes His people, He regenerates His people, and He makes us to see that those who preach the gospel to us did a work that nobody else ever did. They preached the truth to us. He makes you come to Christ. Listen, and as we do this, Paul said, we do nothing to draw attention to ourselves. He said, be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. How? Holding forth the word of life. That's how. So we don't, Christ said, you know, He said, don't do your works to be seen of men. And then He tells us to be aware that you're going to be seen of men, but don't do anything to be seen of men. Don't do your alms to be seen of men. Don't pray to be seen of men. Don't do anything to be seen of men. And He's teaching us, brethren, don't do anything else to attract sinners to join the church except preach Christ and Him crucified. We don't want people to join with us because of some other reason. We want it to be Christ only. And so if that's going to be the case, we preach Christ only. Now, we have to remember where our light comes from. We have to remember that. I've told you this often, I love how God works things in His providence to give you a message and I started out this week, and I didn't know what the message was going to be. But I wrote two bulletin articles. And the way I do my bulletins, when I finish the sermon notes, I write them out. make them in a readable format, the ones I send to you all, and then I put them in the bulletin. But I won't get to that sermon for another 2 or 3 years probably, because I'm that far behind, you know, because I preach 3 messages a week, so I'm moving ahead faster than I'm writing bulletins, articles. But I just went to a message from 2015, prepared those 2 articles in the bulletin, and both of them are about Christ the light and about his charge to us as the church to shine forth the light. And then I turned to Exodus 25, and my next text was the lampstand. You think that was by accident? No. Now listen. Listen to this. Isaiah 60 in verse 1. As we're shining forth, remember this. The light we have is not our own. It didn't come from us. It came from Christ. And it is all of Christ. If he takes that light away, we'll be nothing but darkness. So listen to this. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. There's our light. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. But you see that text, it says Christ is our light. He's our light. The application or the illustration I gave in the bulletin article is, if you're standing in a field and you're in darkness and people can't see you because of the darkness, but if somebody shines a spotlight on you, now they can see you. But the light's not from you. The light's from the spotlight. And that's what arise and shine means. It's in the margin, it means be illuminated. It's passive. And Christ is the one who shines the light upon us. Makes us preach Christ only. Now, here's the application. And I hope the Lord make us hear this. Turn to John 3. I hope he make us hear this and make us do as he says right here. For every sinner that hasn't come to the light, here's his application. And listen to this. This is Christ speaking. John 3:19. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Why, when we were young, did we... do the things mom and daddy said not to do under cover of darkness, so we couldn't be seen? Why'd we lock our bedroom door so we couldn't be seen? Well, listen to this. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now, if we come to Christ, the light, our deeds are going to be reproved. We're going to be brought down. We're going to be made to see that we've never done anything to please God, and we won't ever do anything in ourselves, of ourselves, to please God. And all the works we ever did were vanity. We're going to be made to see that if we come to Christ. But now listen, but he that doeth truth, here's what I pray for everybody I preach to. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. He comes to Christ the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. He wants his deeds to be out in the open. He wants everybody to see his deeds, that they're wrought in and by God, not by him. They're wrought by God and in God. And that's what we want people to know. That's what we want people to see. We don't have anything of us to impress anybody with. All our light is Christ, and he's the one that's given us the light. He drew us to himself. He made us to want our deeds to be reproved, and He made us to want our deeds to be made manifest. He made us to confess. To Him be the glory alone, because He's the one that worked every deed on our behalf. So I pray, Lord, today make You come to the light. Amen. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these words. Pray, Lord, that You would bring us to submit to the fact that You use these figures and these pictures to show us Christ, and that You'd make us hear Christ speak in these things and draw us to Him alone. And Lord, we need You to continually keep us. We need You to keep us lit. We need You to sustain us. We have no strength in ourselves. We can't do anything of ourselves. And Lord, we pray You bring each of Your chosen people, Your redeemed people, home with You to glory. We know You've promised it. We know You will. But You've said You'll be inquired of for it. And we ask You, Lord, bring us to glory. We pray for our sick brethren. Pray for those that are in trials and trouble. Whatever it may be, we ask You, Lord, to point them to Christ and make them to do everything from the constraint of His love. We ask You to bless the message now, bless the second hour. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.